Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, Text 45. Hangsaya Dara Nilalaya Nirikshakaya. Krishnaya Mrishta Yasase Nirupakramaya. Satsam Grahaya Bhava Panta Nija Shramaptav. Ante Purishta Gataye Hareye Namaste. Hangsaya. Unto the most exalted and pure. Pavitram Paramam. The Supreme Pure. Dara, in the core of the heart. Nilayaya, whose abode. Nirikshakaya, supervising the activities of the individual soul. Krishnaya, unto the super soul. Was a partial manifestation of Krishna. Mrishta Yasase, whose reputation is very bright. Nirupakramaya, who has no beginning. Satsangrahaya, understood only by pure devotees. Bhava Panta Nija Ashrama Apto. Being attainment of the shelter of Krishna. For persons within this material world. Ante, at the ultimate end. Parishta Gataye, unto him who is the ultimate goal, the highest success of life. Hariye, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet, after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Purport. The demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety, but now they directly approached Lord Krishna. For although there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu, Krishna descends to this planet in his Vasudev feature for the purpose of Pritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Tridiskritam. Protecting his devotees and annihilating the miscreants. Demons or atheists always disturb the demigods or devotees. And therefore Krishna descends to punish the atheists and demons and fulfill the desires of his devotees. Krishna, being the original cause of everything, is the Supreme Person, above even Vishnu and Narayana. Although there is no difference between these different forms of the Lord. As explained in the Brahma Samhita 546, Diparcha eva hitasantaram abhyupetya dipayate vivarta hetu samana dharma yastadrig eva hi chavishnutaya vivati govindam adi purusham tamahang vajami. Krishna expands himself as Vishnu the way a bright candle kindles another. Although there is no difference between the power of one candle and another, Krishna is compared to the original candle. The word mrishta yashase is significant herein because Krishna is always famous for relieving his devotees from danger. A devotee who has sacrificed everything for the service of Krishna and his only source of relief is the Lord is known as akinchana. As expressed in the prayers offered by Queen Kunti, the Lord is akinchana vita, the property of such a devotee. Those who are liberated from bondage of conditioned life are elevated to the spiritual world where they achieve five kinds of liberation: sayuja, salokya, samrupya, sharasti, and samipya. They personally associate with the Lord in five mellows: shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. These rasas are all emanations from Krishna. As described by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the original mellow adi rasa is conjugal love. Krishna is the origin of pure and spiritual conjugal love. Generally, when there's a battle, especially in modern times, the soldiers don't take time off to offer such type of elaborate prayers. Usually there's a few curses, but not more than that. It's rather unusual for the commander-in-chief of the battle, Indra, to take so much time off before the battle to offer prayers to God, especially prayers that make any sense. Similarly, Arjuna wound up asking for at least a couple of hours questions to God before the battle of Kurukshetra started, just to find out what he was supposed to do. We have a similar schedule. Before we go out and struggle in the material world, we're supposed to come and hear about Krishna and maybe offer a few prayers by chanting Hare Krishna so that we're prepared for the struggle in the material world. Now here, the same struggle is there because there's only one eternal struggle going on. As Krishna says, Pritranaya sadunam vinashaya tridiskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavama yuge yuge. That the reason why Krishna comes is in order to protect the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish religious principles. So that's eternal. As long as one is in the material world, there's going to be pious and demoniac. And they're not going, hopefully they don't agree with each other, because if they agree with each other, well, if the demons become devotees, that's good. But if the devotees become demons, that's not very good. But there's a constant struggle between them. And although it goes on, obviously, in the heavenly planets, but it also goes on this planet. That as soon as there are actually real devotees who actually show themselves to be devotees, then the demons will become very disturbed. Because the demons, their only business is to make others into demons and control the lower demons. But if there are devotees, then the devotees are actual threats to their idea that they're the supreme in this world. Therefore, our business is to become devotees and to allow Krishna to annihilate the demons, especially the demoniac mentality in this age. Therefore, in this age, the chanting of Hare Krishna is introduced in order to actually vanquish the demons and to reestablish religious principles. We ourselves, we should not think ourselves that we are the saviors of this world, because we should be saved, and by becoming saved, then we might be able to become instruments to save others also. But the actual controller of everything is not us, it's Krishna. Now we're bewildered into thinking that we're even controlling a little bit, independently of Krishna. It's not that the soul has no controlling power, but we have to understand our controlling power, or else we'll get confused and we'll take more credit than we actually deserve. Sometimes Krishna says that the soul is not doing anything, nor is he entangled, and sometimes Krishna says the soul is solely responsible for what goes on. So is Krishna confused? He started the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning. He said one thing, and then as he progressed, he forgot, changed his mind. Oh, that's right. The soul is doing something. I should have said that at the beginning, but, you know, I've only spoken this since time immemorial. Always room for a little few mistakes here and there. No, the soul is actually doing nothing in the material world because he's not part of the material world. He's part of the spiritual world. And the entire material energy, maya dakshena prakriti, suyate sacharacharam, hetu nonena kuntiya, jagatvi parivartade. The whole material world is moving under Krishna's energy's control. But the soul has a capacity by his free will to desire, and it is due to the soul's desire that the whole material world was created in the first place. There was no need of the material world. It wasn't that Krishna, he decided one day, everything's going too good in the spiritual world. I think I'll see what happens, throw a few people into the material world and see what happens. Get a little variety in life. Take a few movies and I can show it to the gopis at night. Now the material world is created because of our desire to be something other than that we are. That's the whole material world. We want to be something other than we are eternally. And therefore, out of the many varieties of things we could do, this is one of the things we're doing. Living the life of illusion. And in that life of illusion, there's endless varieties. We can become demons, we can become devotees, we can go to hell, we can go back to the spiritual world. That all depends upon our desire. Now Srimad Bhagavatam points out, it's not good to be a demon. Of course, we don't mean demon by the fact that people have two little horns and a tail, and that's how you tell a demon. According to the Bhagavad Gita, a demon is one who doesn't follow scripture. Of course, if we don't know what scripture is, then we don't have to worry about following it. The problem is, if we don't know what scripture is and we don't follow, we're still a demon. We may be an innocent demon, but the material nature works in such a way that either, whether we're a conscious demon or an unconscious demon, we still get the reactions for activities. As long as one is serving lust, anger, and greed, then Krishna says, Danaham dvishita kuran, samsureshu naradamam, shipram ashram ashubam, ashrishvevam yonishu. For those who are envious and mischievous and lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast into the lower species of life. So that's a defeat for the soul. If he fights in a war and he gets killed in the war, if it's a righteous war, then he may be elevated. But if he acts sinfully in this world in any capacity, he's defeated, he goes down to the lower species of life, which is the greatest defeat that's possible. And it's all based upon Trividam, Narakasyedam, Dwaram, Nashitam Atmanaha, Kama krodha tata lobhas tasmat etam trayam chajet. That the real enemies in this world are lust and anger and greed. Prahlad Maharaj said, actually, there's no enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind. Unless the mind is focused on Krishna, performing Krishna's service, then the mind is controlled by lust, anger, and greed, and therefore it's considered to be uncontrolled. Anything that we allow, we fall under, that brings us down to the lower species of life, means that we're not properly utilizing our free will and our intelligence to take shelter of Krishna, so that he can actually utilize his energies in such a way as to do something which is beneficial for ourselves and others. If you're driving a car and you have intelligence, then you can get to your destination. Then you can consider driving your car under control. But if you become distracted and you crash your car into some other car, that's considered uncontrolled. So we crash into the material nature and wind up in a lower species of material nature, that's considered uncontrolled. So Krishna is coming specifically, Dharma Samstapanaya, to reestablish religious principles. Because on that basis, either one becomes a demon or he becomes a devotee. Therefore, Yakshastri Vidim Utsrija Vartate Kamakarata Nasasudima Vapnoti Nasukam Naparam Gatim. Our first business is to find out Shastra, what's in Shastra, what's to be done and what's not to be done. And ultimately, Krishna says, Shastra is quite simple. Yomam evam asambuddho janati purushottama sasarvavit vajantemam sarabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yukva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhimatsyat krita kritas javarata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures, that anyone who knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So if we want to know how to make our lives successful, then we have to think about Krishna, what he wants us to do. Anything we're doing, thinking about what Krishna wants us to do, and doing it as you'd like us to do it, under the guidance of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, means that our activity will be successful. Otherwise, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It may be apparently glorifiable by others and praiseworthy, but ultimately it's a failure. Ultimately, it will not save us or help elevate our consciousness to the platform of Krishna consciousness. If we flex our Krishna conscious muscle and practice sadhana bhakti and then apply it within our lives, then our Krishna consciousness will increase. And if we start taking everything for granted, I've already reached the pinnacle of life, there's nothing more I really have to do, the only thing to look forward to is a nice feast, then we'll be missing out on the opportunity. Even when we're performing sadhana bhakti, if we think it's a burden or it's not really so important, or I have to do it in a way to be the center of attention or whatever, then we'll miss out on the point that actually we're trying to put Krishna in the center of our attention and do things that are pleasing to him. And therefore we have to become conscious of how to do everything, including our sadhana and our service, in such a way that it's actually pleasing to him, consciously trying to please him. And then, on the basis of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and then we'll be instrumental for reestablishing religious principles and helping to defeat at least our own demoniac mentality. We may not be able to defeat any other demon in this world, but at least we can try to defeat our own demoniac mentality. And what is the symptom? That we won't be so much influenced by lust, anger, and greed, And how do we know we're not so much influenced by lust and greed? Because we start seeing things in relationship to Krishna. We become free from delusion. We start remembering who we are, who everyone else is, and we have the intelligence to how to act according to that. And as soon as we lose that vision of who everyone and who I am and who everyone else actually is, and we don't act according to that, then we fall into delusion. And as we fall into delusion, then we come into the control of lust, anger, and greed. And we try for so-called happiness in the material world. We wind up developing our demoniac side rather than our spiritual side. So this present Kali Yuga is a fight. It may not be, we're not going out there charging the demons in downtown Ljubljana. Except we go out with Harinam, and we go out with books and prasadam, and we try to defeat the demoniac mentality, especially that there is no God, or that God is just an idea, or God can't be here, or God has no influence in this world, etc., etc., that the demons are supreme. No, we actually go out there and present Krishna. Here is Krishna in the form of the holy name. He is Krishna in the form of transcendental literature. He is Krishna in the form of prasadam. And here's Krishna in the form of devotees. That they're happy being in Krishna consciousness, doing this simple service. They don't need all the fancy dress, all the fancy accoutrements of modern society to become happy. Just by associating with Krishna, they can actually be happy by having purified consciousness and knowing who they are and what they're supposed to be doing, actually, to reach the highest perfection of life, just by chanting Hare Krishna and serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, can show people you can be happy without all these other allurements that you need this phone, you need that car, you need this house, you need this wife, you need that husband, you need this amount of bank balance, then you might become happy. So this is all misconceptions posed by this demoniac propaganda, adharma, and so therefore Krishna consciousness is meant to teach people, even if they have all these things, that's all right, but at least utilize them in Krishna service, at least add Krishna to them, to whatever you're doing, and then your life will become at least better, if not eventually perfect. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Well, there might be a difference. Illusion means that something external, you look at something and you might be an illusion, what it actually is. Delusion means you think you're something that you're actually not. So you might be an illusion and delusion at the same time. You might delude yourself into thinking you're something that you're not. Then everything else you're seeing is an illusion. Yes.
The other day you were mentioning Griha Vrata, that because of we made this vow and people in general make this vow, they're not able to see or accept anything. So, but if you go to Sankirtan and say to somebody, please try to get some release or he would say that he hasn't made any vow in his life, but we, according to Bhagavatam, we decided not to search for happiness outside of Krishna. How is that? When we made this vow, and how to get release from these clutches of our stubbornness, or where it does come from? Or
you don't notice people are determined to enjoy in the material world?
Yeah, I noticed my own case. But
people they may not, sit down every day. I vow I'm going to enjoy today. It's just so natural. It's part of their very foundation of their mentality that somehow or another they're going to seek happiness in this material world. Because they're envious of Krishna. If you come to the material world specifically because of enviness against someone, then of course he's the last person you're going to turn to for most people, or at least for some people. As long as they're envious, people may come here, they vow to be happy, but they may not be envious of Krishna. They may just may be forgetful of Krishna. So they're called innocent. So such a person, when you approach, they may become receptive. Because they're not categorically against Krishna. But for those who actually are conscious that there is a God and they're envious of him, they want to forget him categorically, then it's impossible to help them. As a matter of fact, they'll become angry. Why are you reminding me of something I'm trying to forget about? Therefore, such persons are advised not to try to agitate them. But other people, if they're not, especially when people are in a junction in their life, when they're in between jobs or in between marriage or just getting married or just graduated, when they have some space in their life, then they become more receptive. People are going along and everything's been planned out, then even when they're innocent, they're not envious of Krishna, they just look at it as a botheration. You're standing in my way for what I'm going to do. Anything else?
People who are very strongly have a very strong opinion that there is no God and this is just, you have to believe in science and these are just fairy tales. They actually are very much aware of him, and they are, because how can you be envious of someone if you don't know about him?
Yeah, that's such type of people there. Haranyakashipu, Haranyaksha, Kangsa, they're quite demoniac, they're quite aware. Matter of fact, they think by science they'll be able to defeat God eventually. Yeah, of course. Otherwise, if someone has intelligence, sees the sun rising at a point in time and setting a point, they automatically conclude there's some power in this universe, whatever it might be. But to speak of anyone with a little bit of a brain substance can see that time is changing everything, and yet they can't stop time. So even though they don't identify Krishna specifically, they know time is their enemy. They want to defeat time, which they can't. Yes.
It's a very simple thing that everybody should know, that it's by definition that God is inconquerable. So how come that Hiranyakashipu, with all his intelligence, didn't come to this simple conclusion?
Because he didn't have enough intelligence. Therefore, the conclusion is the demons aren't very intelligent. They may be very intelligent how to do things, but they're not very intelligent what to do. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.